Well, good morning. I asked if I could take my mask off, and I appreciate that. It's good to be here this morning. If you looked at the bulletin, there's a little outline there. Fret not, fear not, faint not. And of course, we live now in a very unique time in the history, not only of our country, but of the world. And I looked at the website. I talked to Gary earlier in the week, but I looked at the website. I don't know how often y'all look at the website for your church. Does anybody looked at it this week? Okay, about two out of the group. I've told one of the people when I came in, I said, well, I saw your picture on the website. I saw your picture. And they didn't know their picture was on there. So you ought to check that out. But anyway, it was interesting because there was a note on the home page from the pastor. And it was a very good description of what we're going through. And basically it started out, whatever happened to the 2020 vision? From all the way back in January, it was about being a year for clarity and focus. 2020 has turned our best laid plans into a blue of uncertainties and cancellations. From gathering with friends to work, from finances to graduations, health concerns, travel plans, sporting events, shortages of items we've always taken for granted. Who among us has not encountered massive disruptions over the past 5 months? I think we can all identify with that. And then he gives a little exposition of a passage in 2 Kings chapter 6 involving Elisha, who prayed that the Lord would open his eyes that he might see what the situation looked like, what was really going on. And so Gary said, there are moments when God pulls back the curtain to bring perspective and hope and confidence. Let's pray that God will allow us to see something of the greater picture. He works in ways we miss unless our spiritual eyes are opened. So let me pray. Lord, we do pray that you would open our eyes and our ears and our hearts this morning. Thank you for this church. We thank you for this a time we have to worship you and to be in your word, and we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you know, I know when a person becomes a Christian and he hadn't been around church before, there's a whole new vocabulary. Born again, saved, repent, gospel. Well, I think we've all learned some new words this year. Like pandemic, coronavirus, flattening the curve, social distancing, safer at home. And yesterday I heard a new one, and it was in the paper this morning, tripwires. Does anybody know what the tripwires are? Well, when I was in Vietnam, you had to be careful about tripwires. You're going through, and you might have a wire there, and you would trip on it, and it would launch a weapon at you or something bad might happen. So the Shelby County Health Department published yesterday a 20-page document saying from going forward, we're going to have certain tripwires. If we have, and I don't quote me on the numbers, but if there are less than 150 new cases a day, then we will allow bars to reopen. If they're more than X number a day, then we'll shut down and go back, and maybe even schools. So this is a plan, but we do live in uncertain times, not only here, but I look at the map of the world. I mean, I know you all are in contact with lots of people all over the world, very dire situation in lots of countries, especially with the poor people who work today to earn money to buy bread for that day. If there's no work, there's no food. And so we have millions all over the world that are leaving the big cities to go back out to the villages just because they're without work. I saw one striking picture of children eating grass. That's all they had. So we have it's a very tough time. Even one of our former first ladies was quoted this week as saying that she is in a mild depression, and she gave some of the reasons. I looked at on the internet yesterday, and there was a report by an International Journal of Medicine talking about the impact of the pandemic on suicide rates. We know that suicide's up. We know that homicides are up. We know that drug and alcohol use is up during this time. And they cited psychological and social effects associated with distress, anxiety, fear, depression. So we have many voices we hear today, many opinions, many sources of information. We have the print media, which not many people look at anymore. We have radio, we have TV, we have internet, we have social media. And so somebody will say, well, I heard that this, and then somebody else heard the opposite. And so it affects our minds. So the question I would ask you this morning is, who are you listening to? We're instructed in Scripture, of course, to listen to the Lord, to the Word of God. And I submit, and I'll mention this as I go through today, where's our mind fixed on? If we let the world's voices drown out the Lord's, we will indeed be fearful and be anxious and fret. So which path do we take going forward? Well, some of you will remember this illustration from that great literary work, Alice in Wonderland. Alice, is, of course, went down the rabbit hole. She doesn't know where she is. One day she's walking along a road and she stopped. There was a fork in the road. And she looked up in the tree and she saw the Cheshire Cat. And she looked up at him and asked, which road should I take? And the cat said, where do you want to go? And Alice said, I don't know. And he said, well, then it doesn't matter which road you take. And so we in this world and in this society, which way are we going? Well, I submit that God has already laid out a way for us, and we need, despite what's going on, to keep our minds fixed on it. You know, Yogi Berra, he's a great American philosopher. Some of y'all don't know who he is, but we're not talking about Yogi Bear. We're talking about the baseball player who was known for his funny sayings, one of which was, when you come to a fork in the road, take it, which was very good advice. So where do you want to go this morning? Where do I want to go this morning in this life? What is the way laid out for us by our Lord? Who and what are we looking to and listening to? In Colossians it said, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. So you'll see in the little outline in the bulletin, we're going to be camping some in the Psalms this morning. So, first of all, let's consider this term, fret not. And I'd ask you to turn with me to Psalm 37. Now, David wrote this psalm. I'll talk a little bit about David's life. You're all familiar with David. David was a shepherd. He was later anointed by Samuel. He fought the giant. He ran from Saul. He later became the king. He was known as a man after God's own heart, even though he wasn't a perfect man. This specific psalm that he is attributed to him has the word fret not in it a bunch of times. Now, the thrust at the beginning of it is Don't fret about evildoers. Why do the wicked prosper and the righteous seem not to? But this what he writes here, this fretting not, applies to various things, to life, to the pandemic. Fret not yourself because of evildoers, neither be envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither like the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shall you dwell in the land, and verily you shall be fed. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth your righteousness as the light, and your justice as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not yourself because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not yourself in any way to do evil. Now, David, if you look over at verse 25, I like this verse because of how old I am. By the way, how many people here today have a King James Version Bible with you? Okay, that's what I got because mine's all marked up at Schofield, but I know how to substitute use for these and all that. But we got other translations I'm going to refer to this morning. But in verse 25 of Psalm 37, here's what David says. I have been young and now I'm old. Yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. So David is writing this at a time when he's older. He's had a lot of life experiences. He's been in communion with the Lord all these years, and the Lord has met him, whether it's fighting the bear and the lion or Goliath or preserving his life from Saul. He can look back and see how God has been good to him, just like we, some of you, keep a prayer journal and we pray, and hopefully when he answers we thank him. But it's good to go back and harvest your journals from time to time to see the goodness of the Lord. So we see that David is finishing well. He's passing on, if you will, lessons he's learned through life. There are others like this in Scripture. Jacob, when he was in Egypt, called his sons together in Genesis 50 and told them what was going to happen and where he was to be buried. Jesus, the night he was betrayed at the Last Supper, he's there with his disciples. Let not your heart be troubled, neither be afraid. You believe in God. I go to prepare a place for you. But he was telling them what was going to be happening. I'm going to the Father. The Spirit is going to come to you. And so we see Paul is another one we see in Scripture. Paul, at the end of his life, is in the Roman prison. His last letter is 2 Timothy to his son in the faith. And he's thankful for every remembrance. And he reflects back on his life and how he was saved on the road to Damascus. And then he's passing on to Timothy, here's some lessons I've learned. And so, I don't know about you, but I know some people are working outside the home. I've got my son and daughter-in-law in Chattanooga. They've been working from home for months. My son-in-law is basically working from home. My daughter here's got to go to work every day outside the home. So we have people, though, and especially people that are not working full-time, you would think we've had time to reflect during this time, since we can't go to here, we can't go to there. So thinking back should help us as we recall things in the past where God has been faithful, and as we read Scripture and the testimony of people there. My daughter, lives in Nebraska. She's married to a pastor, and she sent me a book about a month ago called The Last Arrow. It's by a man named Irwin McManus, pastor, never heard of him. But anyway, basically the guy is saying, here's a quote from him, save nothing for the next life. You got one life to live here on the earth. Don't be holding back. Do what must be done. Now, say what must be said. Write the words that must be written and live the life that must be lived. So many times we hold back. Well, I meant to tell my grandchildren this, or I meant to talk to that person and reconcile with them, or whatever it is. A man in my church who was an elder, young man, he was younger than I was. He was probably late 60s. Got cancer, and he pushed on through it. But toward the end, he came to the elders' meeting and basically told us goodbye. And he had just reached 70. But he was thankful for the life that God had given him. And he had actually sat down and videotaped several hours worth of his life to pass it on to his children and grandchildren, where he could say to them things that maybe he had not said. Now, let's look at Psalm 37 in more depth for a few minutes here. Fret not. Well, you know, people have a tendency to worry. That's another word for fret. Hear a little bit about the wicked. There was a famous British preacher named Martin Lloyd-Jones, and this was his sermon text at the end of World War II, talking about Hitler. You know, don't be envious of Hitler, because his end is going to be bad. The New Testament version of this, in my opinion, is Philippians 4:6. Be anxious for nothing, a familiar passage to us. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Anxiety and worry, the commentators say, is from an old English word which literally means to strangle, to be torn apart. So it's like your mind is being torn apart. You've got these thoughts coming in, you've got these thoughts coming in, and so your mind is not fixed. It's being drawn in various directions. And certainly we can understand that as we hear different reports. Some anxiety is caused by wrong thinking. It says in Proverbs, as a man thinks, so he is. Paul says, be not conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And we do that by being in this word. I can promise you, if you go a week and you're not in the Word and you're listening to 2 hours of TV news or radio or social media, your mind is going to be all over the place. It's going to be like it's being pulled apart. I get reports from people and they'll say, well, you know, they say, and they'll give me something. I'll say, well, who is they? Well, I don't know. They say. Be in the Word. David was in communion with his Lord as he was a shepherd. He was prepared for the times that would be hard when he would be going through difficult things. And verse 3 says, trust in the Lord and do good. Well, another word for trust is faith. Some say, we would say, the antidote for fear is faith. I believe in God, and even in the midst of this. In Psalm 37, verse 40, later on, he says, our God will save us because we trust in him. We know in Proverbs it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean to your own understanding. And then verse 4, delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. I would ask you where your delight is today. Is it in the Lord? Well, you know, yeah, I mean, that gives me delight. A lot of people are in depression because they don't know what's going to happen to the football season. Is the SEC going to play? Well, now they've moved it to September 26, and they've cut it to 10 games instead of 12. Some conferences have already said they're not playing. Is the high school football going to play? Well, maybe, maybe not. The basketball season stopped. Now it started, and so our Grizzlies are in Orlando playing, trying to play. They did win one to see if they get in the playoffs. The baseball season has restarted, and so I know there are a lot of Cardinal fans, but the Cardinals got 8 players that have tested positive, so they hadn't played in about 2 weeks. So a lot of uncertainty. Commit yourself to the Lord, verse 5. So you got two ways, the Lord's way and self's way, your way, my way. We know the song, I Did It My Way. One of the saddest funerals I went to in recent years, that's one of the songs they wanted played, I Did It My Way. The basic sin of mankind, not your way, my way. There's a way that seems right to man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. In Psalm 37, later on in verse 23, it says, He delights in our way when we follow the steps He has ordered, and none of our steps shall slide. And so we rely on Him, because if we start doing the way that's not His, we start slipping and sliding. Jesus said, I am the way, and He wants us to follow Him. Trust also in Him, and He will bring it to pass. Matthew Henry is an old commentator. Some of you probably have his commentary. And I looked what he said about the first verses of Psalm 37. He says, to delight in God is as much a privilege as a duty. He has not promised to gratify the appetites of the body, but the desires of the renewed soul. Commit your way to the Lord. Roll your way upon Him. Cast your burden on Him. We roll it off ourselves and onto Him. And that's true as we, Philippians 4:6, it says we pray about everything. And as we do, what's the result? The peace of God that passes all understanding will guard our hearts and mind through Christ Jesus. And so then verse 7 says to rest and wait. Sometimes that's difficult. Now let's turn to the next point. We're to fret not. It's hard to do. My son, one more example. My son, when he was in college, developed some knots on the back of his head and in the groin, didn't know what was wrong, and he went to the doctor and they said, we got to do surgery and we got to cut this out because it may be lymphoma. And so we heard that and we jumped in the car and drove up to Knoxville and we were praying. And I know the scripture, be anxious for nothing, but here's your child. Here's my only son who may have lymphoma. And obviously I'm worried. I'm anxious. I'm fretting outwardly. But I know what the scripture says. So I start praying. And I prayed for him. And this is before we used email extensively. And I had a prayer chain. And I got a call when I got to Knoxville on the voicemail from a man in England, And he said, we're standing in prayer with you and are praying for Adam. We have a God that can heal, but he also can give us grace in the midst of the battle. Very comforting. And, I was able to back off my fretting and fear and anxiety. Fear not. Let me just read this first four verses of Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, come upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this I will be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. And then in verse 8 it says, when you said, seek my face, my heart said, your face, Lord, will I seek. Verse 11, teach me your way and lead me in a plain path. So the word fear not, you'll recognize that. If I ask you, tell me some places in the Bible where it says fear not, some would pop in your minds. It's according to one commentary I read, it says the word fear not, or the phrase fear not, is mentioned 170 times in the Bible. 138 in the Old Testament, 32 in the New. I thought about the angels when Jesus was born. Say to the shepherds, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy. When the angel appeared to Zacharias, fear not. When another angel appeared to Mary, the mother of Jesus, fear not. And so this is a constant fear not. Newer translations say, be not afraid. I don't know in your life prior to these unpleasantries, prior to this pandemic, what are some things in your life that you were fearful of? And obviously you've gotten through them because you're here today. It may be family, it may be health, it may be deaths. I thought back about when I was getting ready to go to Vietnam on a patrol boat. You had a one-year tour. So if you went on November the 7th, 1966, you were supposed to come home on November the 7th, 1967. You had a one-year tour, if you came back. And I came home for the weekend. I'd been in San Diego training for 3 months. Flew in, and in the airport in Los Angeles before I flew home, I ran into a guy that I'd gone to high school with as a pilot, and he told me that another classmate of ours had just gotten killed. He was a pilot flying over North Vietnam, and he had died in a fire on the aircraft carrier. So we come home. We get to Memphis Saturday morning. We were honorary pallbearers at his funeral that day. Now, I already had a little anxiety about going to Vietnam, but here's my friend that I grew up with who we're burying. And I wasn't really a believer then. I mean, I was a church person, and I prayed in Vietnam when I thought I was going to get killed, kind of foxhole religion, and it would pass and you'd go on. But there are a lot of things we have to face that are fearful. But David here says, he, despite all this, the thing that he desired was to be in close communion with the Lord. Verse 4. This is what I desire, not to be a great leader, not to be a great soldier, but I will seek after that I'll dwell in the house of the Lord and behold the beauty of the Lord. And to inquire at his temple. I will have this close communion with my Lord. Last fall, I was overseas in two different countries for 24 days. And we were doing some speaking. And the theme was draw near. draw near to God and He'll draw near to you. And so I had the opportunity to spend time with other brothers and sisters, but this whole matter of it, I was living in these scriptures about come to me, seek me, abide in me. This whole thing about your relationship. Lord, I'm drawing near to you, and you've promised you'll draw near to me. And so I spent a lot of time doing that. Little did I know that He was preparing me for something else, not just the pandemic. I sat down yesterday and wrote down, does anybody remember when the mayor of Memphis's stay-at-home order first went into effect? Well, it was March 24th. I remember it. I remember the day because my wife, we're already, you know, staying at home a lot. You know, you're scared to go to Kroger. And for some reason, she was talking to one of her friends from high school, and they were talking about Coral Lake. Some of y'all don't even know where Coral Lake is, but I'd call it West Whitehaven. I grew up in Whitehaven. Coral Lake's kind of down near the state line off Highway 61. And Mary said, well, I remember we had a teacher who lived down there, and she had a function for us. I want to go to Coral Lake today. So in our last 2 or 3 hours of freedom before the stay-at-home, we rode down 61, and we drove around Coral Lake. But anyway, that's March, so April, May, June, July, August, so 5 months. Right before the stay-at-home order, I had been to the doctor, and I thought I was in good health. I still try to walk 10,000 steps a day and in the Senior Olympics. And the doctor checks me out, and I'm fine. He said, oh, by the way, have you ever had a calcium scan? And I said, well, and he said, well, people your age, I recommend that you have them. It's to check out and see if there's any calcium or plaque buildup in your arteries. Okay, so I routinely go to it. Doctor calls me, not so good news. You need to see a cardiologist. And so I go to the cardiologist. He takes one look at the numbers and we have to do a heart cath. And if there's any blockage, we can put stents in. So it was scheduled for the next week, which was like the day after the stay-at-home, March 25th. But then they called me and said, okay, we're not going to do it because that's an elective. You don't have any outward symptoms. You don't have shortness of breath. You don't have chest pains. And so we're going to put it off a month. Well, you know, here I am. I've just been told, you know, I'm at risk. I look at the internet, all the WebMD and all that. Well, I'm risk a heart attack real high. Didn't know it. My daughter in Nebraska, she tells me to start eating healthy. Man, I'm eating all this veggie stuff. And I lost about 15 or 20 pounds in that month. But ultimately, I had the heart cath. And, of course, I'm praying. Doctor comes out, too much blockage. Can't do a cath. You got to have surgery. So I had triple bypass, April 29th. Cut you right down the middle. No visitors. My wife, Mary, couldn't come see me. She one day brought me a piece of key lime pie. And I saw her out the window, and she took it to the entrance, and they brought it to me in the cardiac ICU. But here I was, you know, and I was at peace when I went in before they put me to sleep. But I'm there, and I got tubes coming out of me, and you know, I am really crying out to the Lord. Just the things that I had been thinking about. And I was going through the alphabet, A, abide, B, Lord, I bless you, C, you say come to me, I'm coming to you, D, draw near to me. And I mean, that's kind of what I'm thinking about as I'm laying there in the hospital. The people were great at the ICU. Several people came that worked there, prayed with me. But it was a difficult time. But I really felt at peace about it. I don't say I didn't fret any, but I'd say that the Lord helped me a lot. And so now I'm rehabbing, and, you know, I'm standing here today, hopefully doing well. Hebrews 13, in many places in the Bible, Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. David knew that. David, in these Psalms we've considered. David, when he went up against Goliath, he knew the Lord was with him. There are a lot of verses on abiding in the Lord and standing against fear. Paul writes, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. And we have to remember that. I know y'all started a series on Moses. I listened to part of it. I know Moses was on the backside of the desert, and God told him he was sending him back to Egypt. And you remember Moses, Gary said it very well last week. You know, he had various reasons why he shouldn't be the one to go back. But God promised that he'd be with him. When they came through the Red Sea, the Lord will fight for you. All throughout Scripture, Gideon didn't want to do it. Angel says, fear not. And so in our time of uncertainty, fret not and fear not. And then the last thing in the outline says, and it's an F, faint not. Well, that's a word that we don't use so much. I mean, how many of y'all have ever fainted before? Has anybody in here ever fainted? Okay. I used to faint as a kid. Usually it was because of pain. One time I got cleated in the head when I was catching in Little League baseball. And I was bleeding, but I wanted to stay in the game, so they put me out in left field. And my brother was playing shortstop, and they hit a ball to left field, and I had fainted. And my brother went by and hurled insults at me and got the ball. But there were times that I fainted, but then I didn't faint for many years. And then in 2004, I was driving the car down the street, and out of the blue, I felt like I was going to faint, and I tried to pull off on a side road and had a wreck, and ended up in the hospital. And that's the last time I had fainted. Now, sometimes when they get ready to draw blood, I used to kind of, you know, I'd kind of not like that very much. But faint is a word used often in the Bible, meaning to lose power, to kind of pass out or be weakened. In our Psalm 27, David writes, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. So David, King David, as powerful as he was, says he would have fainted. He would have grown weary unless he believed the goodness of the Lord. Then I think I put in there, yes, Isaiah. I'm going to turn to Isaiah chapter 40. This is a pretty often quoted section in Isaiah. And he asked the question, have you not known, have you not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, faints not, neither is he weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He gives power to the faint. And to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young man shall utterly fail. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up like wings of eagles. Wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And so the key to not fainting and being weary, of course, is the Lord. Jesus said in Luke 18, you'll remember this, men ought always to pray and not to faint. And then he goes into an exposition about praying. In the NIV it says, men ought always to pray and not give up. So a person that faints is basically given up. And so we're not to faint. We're not to give up during this time. Paul says in Galatians 6:9, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not, if we persevere. And then I've cited Hebrews 12:3. You know, Hebrews 12 is the great cloud of witnesses. And then the writer says, let us lay aside all the weights and sin that easily beset us and run with patience the race set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Verse 3 says, for consider him, consider Jesus, that endured such hostility of sinners against himself, lest you become weary and faint in your minds. When you feel faint, when you feel weary, when you feel like you have no strength, consider what the Lord Jesus did for you, for me. The NIV says, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. People lose heart when they get depressed. And consider the Lord and what he's done. Many of us are very tired of the pandemic. We long for a time when we can move about like we used to. A lot of people are giving up and losing heart. So, fret not, fear not, faint not. Now, here's the last point. It's not in there. It's a fourth F. Forget not. Forget not. Another psalm that David wrote is Psalm 103, verses 1 and 2 say this, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Forget not all the promises that are in this Bible. Forget not what he has done for me. Forget not to fret not. You know, we're commanded, fret not. Don't forget that. We're commanded to fear not. Don't forget that. We're commanded to faint not and to not give up and to not lose heart. Don't forget that. We, our mind, the devil would get us to forget things and not remember things. God has given us his spirit to bring to our remembrances the things that are said. And so I want to close this morning. And let me pray, and you can pray along with me. This was a very good exercise for me in the hospital and leading up to it, to just let my mind go through the alphabet, A, B, C. What's something about my relationship to the Lord that begins with an A? Abide. But there's a bunch of them. B, C, and so forth. Now, I never could come up with X. If somebody has an X, let me know. But let me pray, and I'm going to use some of these as we close our time. Father, we come to you this morning, and we would abide in you as you told us to. We adore you. Lord, we believe in you. We bless you. Lord, you bid us come to you, and we would keep on coming. You tell us in the Hebrews passage we just read to consider him, consider Jesus. And Lord, you say that if we draw near to you, you will draw near to us. You also tell us delight ourselves in you, and we would do that. Lord, you tell us in everything to give thanks, and we would do that this morning. We would exalt you. Lord, we would follow you. We would follow you. Lord, we would give you glory. We would give you honor. We would hear your voice. We thank you that you've sent your Holy Spirit. And Lord, we're reminded of the verse where Paul says, not I, but Christ. We're crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And Lord, we are thankful for the life here on earth of the Lord Jesus, who for the joy set before him despised the shame. Lord, we ask you to draw us to help you know you better. Paul said that I might know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering. Lord, we would love you more. We would learn of you. We would listen to you. Father, we thank you for your mercies. They're new every morning. And we ask you to renew our minds. Lord, we're reminded that nothing is impossible with you. We sing the song, Name Above All Names. And Father, we just read in this passage where David says, one thing that I desired to be in your presence. And Lord, we would offer our lives to you. Lord, we praise you this morning. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege of prayer. We thank you, Lord, that you promised power to fulfill your great commission and to go through life. Lord, thank you for quickening us from the spiritually dead. Thank you that we can spend times in quiet with you. Lord, we would rejoice in you. We would rest in you. We would say to you, you're our rock. And we would repent of times, Lord, when we did not trust, did not remember Scripture and apply them. Lord, we trust you. Well, we seek you, Lord. You're our Savior. You're our strength. We trust you and we give thanks, Lord, for what you've done for us. Lord, we thank you that you've given us spiritual understanding, and we ask you that you would use us for your glory. Thank you, Lord, for victory. Thank you for the song we sang this morning, Victory in Jesus. And Lord, we would abide in the vine and we would listen to your voice every day. And Lord, we would worship you this morning. You're worthy to receive glory and honor and power. And Lord, we would wait on you. We would ask you, Lord, to help us walk in your way and be in the Word of God and do the will of God. And Lord, you alone are worthy. Give us a zeal, Lord, to live our lives in a manner pleasing to you. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.